May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Prayer is one of the most beautiful mysteries in a life of faith. The Book of Common Prayer is obviously full of prayers. Prayers of the people, collects, prayers we pray together and prayers we pray alone. The benediction, the good word, at the end of our worship service is also a kind of prayer. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Passing the peace and saying, "Peace be with you," is also a kind of prayer, a recognition of reconciliation between people, and a desire for the peace of Christ to be present in our community. Prayer is a really integral part of being a Christian. The Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer says that prayer is a response to God through thoughts and deeds, and with words, and also without words. But what is it that happens when we pray? How does prayer actually work? I suspect that the disciple in today's gospel reading was wondering exactly the same thing. Jesus was a healer and a teacher. We have many vivid descriptions of his ability to exorcise demons and heal the sick. He raised Lazarus from the dead. His teachings are laid out in parable after parable throughout the Gospels, short ones and long ones. But there is one consistent aspect of his life that is most often recorded without very much elaboration. Jesus was a man of prayer. The Bible regularly and quite simply says that he prayed. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. Luke 6:12. Now during those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he named apostles. Again from Luke, once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets was risen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered them and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And this from the Transfiguration. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Jesus prayed and the Holy Spirit descended. He prayed before he chose his apostles. He prayed before prophesying about his own passion and death, and he prayed before his transfiguration. Is it any wonder that seeing Jesus at prayer and seeing the results of his prayer life, that a disciple might ask of him, "Lord, teach us to pray"? I imagine him thinking, "I want some of that." Jesus, responding in love, gifted us with this prayer. It's recorded in Luke as well as Matthew. From Luke today is the simpler version. Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your reign come. Give us day by day our bread for the coming. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not bring us into testing. This prayer has become known as the Lord's Prayer and passed down from generation to generation in the church. It is beloved of Christians. Through the years of use in different worshiping communities, it gets slightly different words and often a lot more of them. Also, over the years, the prayer was increasingly interpreted through the lens of the parable and the verses that follow. After shameless demanding, one friend will give the other what he needs. Ask, and it will be given. Knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, and you will find. A story is told about a young child at a grocery store with his mother. As they go through the store together, the child asks for a cookie. No, the mother responds, you may not have a cookie. Well, as you can imagine, they continue through the aisles and the child's request becomes louder and louder. I want a cookie. No, his mother repeats, no cookie. The demands become more vocal, and the people around in the grocery store can clearly hear him. I want a cookie. Well, when mother and child finally arrive at the checkout counter, that kid has finally had enough. And he exclaims, for the love of Jesus, I want a cookie. And the checkout clerk, having listened to the child's complaints the entire time he and his mother were in the grocery store, was ready and waiting. He gives the boy his cookie. Is this really how prayer works? We sometimes get told that there is a right way of praying, that if we do it right, and if we ask persistently, we will get what we want. The converse of that is if we don't get what we want, we think we have somehow done it wrong. Somehow, something must have been missing in our prayer or in our actions that made God not respond to us. Maybe we think, I need to change my way of living and be a better person so that God will love me and give me what I want. Or if I have material wealth and I consistently get what I want, it is because I am such a devout Christian and God loves me. Even worse, sometimes we can believe that when something really terrible happens, it's a punishment for our lack of faith, our lack of prayer, and an inability to do discipleship right. I am so sorry if you have ever heard this from a church or from a pulpit. It reflects an illusion and a common but persistent misunderstanding. You see, it makes an assumption that we can control God, and that somehow, if we ask persistently and in the right way, we can control what happens to us. We will not have to face pain. We can have life the way we want it. We can be the king. We can reign. This is not the prayer of Christ. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that teaches about divinity and understands humanity. God, the Divine One, is not removed from us and far away. God is in intimate relationship with us, the head of our family and our protector. We pray and we wait for the world to be transformed into a place where God's mercy and justice reign. God is the source of our sustenance and the nurture that we need every day. When we forgive people who have a debt to us, we participate in the boundless mercy of God, who with equal abundance will forgive our sins. The gift of prayer is not that we will be given control over our lives. It is that we will be given the Spirit of God. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. The Holy Spirit will descend, perhaps in the form of a dove, and bring you strength and peace. Seek, and ye shall find that the kingdom of God is actually all around you, and you can participate in bringing it to life. Ask, and God's abundant love and mercy shall be given to you, and you can then bring justice and mercy to the people around you. When you pray, do tell God all of your cares and your feelings and your desires. Then instead of holding tight to them and to your own expectations of what will happen, let go. Surrender yourself into the care of God, who will never leave you to face your challenges alone. God loves you more than even the best parent. God is good. God holds you always in a tender embrace and will never let you go. Amen.